I want to talk to you guys today about pigs in Scotland. You may think that thoughts of bagpipes in a few weeks have done some damage to my head, or perhaps my stomach has already got me ready for the barbecue that awaits us after worship, but bear with me here. The first animals to be domesticated in medieval clans of Scotland were pigs. Pigs were good sources of meat and hide. Traveling such as nomadic clans did actually resulted in the pigs becoming bigger and meatier. Eventually, the clans developed a whole economy based on pigs. The most valuable possessions of medieval Scottish families were their pigs. So soon, those intrepid Scots figured out that it would be more efficient for the several families who made up a particular clan to put all their pigs together and then have one person care for everybody's pigs. And then the others in the clans would be free to do things that the community needed to do to prosper. So the most trustworthy people were given the responsibility of caring for the clan's pigs. The pigs were kept in a common area called a sty, and the person in charge of the area was called a warden, a sty warden. Our modern terms, steward and stewardship, as well as the name of the royal family of Scotland, Stuart, are derived from sty warden. So a good steward is someone who the whole clan can trust with their pigs. This concept of being a good steward did not start with pigs in Scotland, though. That's just where our word comes from. Steward is the way that gets translated in a number of places in Scripture. Our reading for today from 1 Corinthians says, "It is required of stewards that they should be found trustworthy, like the folks who tend to the pigs in Scotland." 1 Peter 4 says, "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received." God has entrusted us with gifts in a way similar to the way the clans entrusted the sty wardens with their pigs. We are to be good stewards of these gifts. We are called to respond generously in gratitude for these gifts with which we have been entrusted. Now, usually we go straight to thinking about stewardship of gifts being about money. And I'm not going to lie, we're going to go there, just not today. First, though, let's look at what Paul says we are made to be stewards of in this first letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries." This is about being stewards of God's mysteries. Seems like a pretty big responsibility, yet according to Paul, the only requirement for being a steward of God's mysteries is to be found trustworthy, to be found faithful. Perhaps the most valuable thing we possess is trust between people. But we know that is fragile. This trust, this faithfulness is love that lasts. It can survive tests and difficulties. We also know that we humans repeatedly fail to be trustworthy. We are surrounded by instances of apparent human failures to be trustworthy. Broken contracts, unpaid bills, failed marriages, broken political promises. Sometimes we fail to be faithful or trustworthy because we have promised too soon or too easily. Sometimes we fail to keep a promise or trust because of unforeseen circumstances, illness, job loss, or a bad investment. But sometimes there's no excuse. We simply have failed to be what we can be. This is the first week in our generosity series, Found Faithful. And our scripture reminds us that just as God has been faithful to us, we who are created in God's image can be more faithful in our dealings with God and one another. That's what we're called to be and do. Paul tells us we should think of ourselves as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And what is the only qualification for being a steward of the mysteries of God? To be found faithful. But how can we be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God if we can't even be faithful in the promises we make to each other? The good news, as Paul tells us, is that the one responsible for judging whether we are trustworthy, the one who can find us faithful, is God. To qualify to be faithful stewards of God's mysteries, we are supposed to be judged trustworthy by God, found faithful by God. God has called us and equipped us to be faithful in our own unique roles, be it as a plumber, accountant, mother, father, pastor, artist, engineer, or teacher. God expects us to be faithful in our relationships with each other as well as with our resources. But being a trustee of God's gifts in our lives doesn't come naturally. It requires intentionality and training. This is a mysterious thing and is part of the call extended by Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. In this short text, Paul uses words that carry important images from his day. These are the words I talked about with the children. The word Paul uses for servant is especially interesting. It is huperetes, which referred to a slave who would row on the lower tier of a two-tier galley ship. Some commentators have built on this imagery and said that Jesus is the captain whose hand is at the wheel, directing the vessel, while we work with the oars that we have been given to move us, to move the vessel forward. And so we're all invited to participate and pull our weight in the shared roles that we have in moving the church forward. Each of us has our job, and Jesus desires willing and ready workers to do what needs to be done. The other word image is steward, and here Paul uses the Greek word oikonomos, which referred to the chief servant in charge of a household. The chief steward controlled the staff, ordered supplies, and took care of related details, but he remained a servant nonetheless. Above all else, the oikonomos needed to be reliable, trustworthy. When the master would leave home and tend to other matters, he relied on his oikonomos to care for matters until his return. A lot like those sty wardens entrusted their pigs in Scotland while their owners were away. So how are we doing while the master, Jesus, is away? What would Jesus say upon his return to our congregation after reviewing how we are working to move forward in mission and service? Are we using appropriately all that has been placed in our care? You may have noticed that there are blank blue cards in your pew racks. We're going to try something over the next few weeks, and I hope that you'll participate. I'm going to invite you today to write on this card one way that this congregation has been a faithful steward over the years. This can be an individual or a corporate way. It can be something recent or from our past. And then when you come forward for communion later in the service, you can place your cards in the baskets, the small ones on the floor, not the Change for Children baskets or the baskets of bread. You can place your blue cards with one way that this congregation has been a faithful steward, and we'll gather those together in celebration. The question we can ask ourselves, reflecting on these words from Paul, is how are we doing with the gifts that God has left in our care? Stewardship is about taking good care of God's gifts. God has entrusted us with these gifts and calls us to be faithful. Our ability to be good stewards does not depend on our age, status, or financial means, only on our faithfulness, of which God alone is the judge. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, was trying to get through to the people that he was nothing special. He was called, just like they were, to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul wanted to be clear that he had no special qualifications for answering this call that they did not have. only that God would find him, like them, faithful and judge him trustworthy. Paul makes the theological assertion here that he, just like the Corinthian Christians, is a servant of Christ and a steward of God's mysteries. We might imagine Paul standing and saying something like, "I serve at the pleasure of Christ." Some of you may know that I'm rewatching the television show The West Wing for the fifth or sixth time. I consider it good for my mental health these days. And in an episode near the end of the first season entitled "Let Bartlett Be Bartlett," we find the staff of the fictional White House at a particularly low point. The White House chief of staff gives his crew a Newt Rockne-esque speech to get them back in the game. And then Deputy Chief of Staff Josh responds. He stands and says, "I serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States." And then CJ, Sam, and Toby each follow. For those White House staffers, it was a great privilege, a high honor to fill the roles they filled. And so they stood with honor and proclaimed, "I serve at the pleasure of the President." In Paul's day, being a steward was a great privilege, a high honor. It meant that you were highly trusted, that you have been found faithful, and given something precious to watch over, to care for, to manage. So Paul served at the pleasure of Christ as a steward of the mysteries of God. We are called to be faithful to serve at the pleasure of Christ as stewards of the mysteries of God. Like those stewardess looking after the pigs in Scotland, we have been entrusted with precious gifts of God. So how are we doing while Jesus is away? Paul's message is one of equality and accountability and discipleship. It is a message meant to empower the priesthood of all believers, that's all of us, not just superstars like Paul. The good news, the promise implicit in Paul's letter, is that as we all are faithful in the call to be servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, that God's kingdom will be well served and we will be found faithful. Amen.